Chris Watkins asking the tough questions.
The super tough ones.
Why? Why? Oh, whose idea was it?
You know what?
This, well, also, me and Chris, you know, he opened up to me and gave me his connect for his barber.
Yeah.
So now we kind of have a barber battle.
Yeah.
Because this guy is hot in the streets. So I don't really tell Chris when I'm going to get my hair cut because I don't want him to lock up my
right.
spot. You know what I mean? So we're trying to get ready for who's going to get the next cut. And Chris is, you know, undermining me as I'm coming back here, locking up a prime day that he knows that I want. But all is fair in love and shows and haircuts.
Oh, yeah.
As he's asking the tough questions, why two teams? Who was the first person to think, you know what? This city is so dope. We need two teams.
Two of them things.
Just to split the fan. Yeah, just to split the fan base. You know what? Do it again.
Yeah.
We want the deluxe package.
Exactly.
Of teams.
We want sports deluxe.
In the city.
I bet Whitey would know.
Whitey probably would know who was the first person.
Or at least have an explanation.
Exactly. At 1:15, we have some sad yet funny sound from a situation with John Fisher in Vegas.
Funny.
With the A's. We will get to that at 1:15. Want to hear this? We alluded to when we were having the Brock Purdy conversation, the sound from Ryan Clark I think it was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Ryan Clark, he's another guy, about five different shows. I can't keep up.
I thought you were going to say 5'10.
Okay.
About 5'10.
Well, what are we doing
5'11.
Here? What is the friendly fire?
I thought that's what you were going to say.
Why would I say that?
That was like a Pat McAfee moment. I was like, I thought you were going to say something else there.
You know, we have never been more connected than Link. We have just never been
never
more connected.
Been more. I think that's the closest we've gotten to being fully together.
Let a naysayer know.
Jeez.
As we have the sound right here from Ryan Clark. And this was a couple days ago, I believe, on First Take. And really, there's a lot of ways to break this thing down, what he said. And this is Ryan Clark on Brock Purdy.
I'm about to make a confession. The single hardest thing I had to do this year was act like Brock Purdy deserved to be in the conversations with the other people we're mentioning in that tweet. Mm. Because he was playing extremely well and operating in that offense and distributing the ball to Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, we had to continue to include him in conversations with the Lamar Jacksons. We had to continue to include him in conversations with the Josh Allens. Those things are not alike. Brock Purdy is a fine player. Brock Purdy can operate in Kyle Shanahan's offense at an extremely efficient level. Brock Purdy doesn't raise the level of play of anyone around him. And so when you talk about Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, the people around them benefit from having those sorts of players at the quarterback position. Brock Purdy benefits from having the sort of players he has at the skill positions around him. And so when we look at that game against the Green Bay Packers, even with Jordan Love throwing an inopportune, inexplicable interception to end the game, I was sitting there watching them going, man, the NFL world should be excited that Jordan Love doesn't play for the San Francisco 49ers.
So my thing is, he said a lot there because some of it I agree with, right? Some of it I don't.
Sure.
I don't agree with him saying he doesn't elevate the players because you haven't had, right, the over 1,000 yards for all these different skill position players, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, right? And the collection of that. They didn't have these numbers with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Okay? So that is why I think he almost said it wrong. Okay? Because he tried to say so much. So that is why I disagree with Ryan Clark. Do I think Brock is in the same conversations with Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes? And I don't even know if Josh Allen is there. It depends on which Josh Allen.
Sure.
Good Josh Allen will say. Then I would say no. But I don't think Dak Prescott was there, too. Brock was in the MVP conversation. There are almost two conversations going on.
Yeah.
There was the MVP conversation, and there was the are you an elite QB conversation.
Yeah.
Those are not the same conversation. But even with that, I think where Ryan Clark went off the deep end for me was that he doesn't elevate his guys and these other guys do. That's not to say these other guys do, right, that they don't. I think they do. But I just think that what he maybe meant to say is that Brock Purdy couldn't do what they were doing on their rosters, maybe. Maybe that's what he meant to say. But the idea that Brock didn't elevate this team, that's just incorrect.
Yeah, I disagree with that. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. I also just – kind of from the start of the clip there, I feel like he lost – I don't want to say all credibility, but I kind of. Like, him saying the toughest thing I had to do this year was act like Brock Purdy.
And the video is so crazy. It almost got dim in the studio. The toughest thing.
I'm about to. He started with the, I'm about to.
Well, it was almost like, I'm about to. Who made you do this? Who made you say it? I mean, Nick Wright's been standing on
disingenuous.
Whatever word that is the whole season.
I mean, and it definitely proves something that I thought all year long, that Brock Purdy is only in this quarterback conversation by default, or in this MVP conversation by default. It felt like everybody was just, okay, we can't put Josh Allen. Well, Mahomes isn't playing well.
Like, get Lamar Tua in there.
Really I don't really like Tua. And it's like, I mean, I guess we'll give it to Brock, but even then, like, Christian McCaffrey, like, what about, like, they tried at every turn to not give Brock the credit. And I think it's just disingenuous to not act like, at the very least, for a couple weeks there, and we talked about it as it was happening, that man was the favorite to win MVP for a reason. There was no one else that was really deserving. And until that Ravens game, it was pretty much Brock Purdy's MVP to lose, and he frankly lost it in that game. And so, I don't know. I feel like Ryan Clark was just started off on the wrong foot by acting like Brock didn't deserve to be in that conversation in general. You could say maybe as the talent he is, a talent or a player that you feel like the tier that Brock Purdy is typically doesn't deserve to be in the MVP conversation. But the facts are the facts. He was in the MVP conversation, and he deserved to be in the MVP conversation. But, why not hold that same energy for Dak? I mean, Dak is in that same tier, and he was in the MVP conversation.
But that's
for a
why
week
I think he just messed up what he was trying to say. I think there was a lack of nuance in what he was saying, because he probably did it. You had to put Brock in the MVP conversation this season. You didn't have to have. To your point, nobody compares Dak to Mahomes in that group, right? So it's not disingenuous. Where he messed up is he wasn't able to separate the MVP conversation from the elite quarterback conversation.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And you know, he's got to get the mood right, and you know, darken the studio.
I'm about to make Drake in that song with J. Cole.
916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to our guy, Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. Steven, we saw you on the text line. We know you want to talk about Purdy. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so with Ryan Clark, I feel like he's a little out of pocket. And I really feel like you guys should pull up that Pat McAfee clip of him just saying, look, I'm done with the Brock Purdy slander. And then he just dropped a bunch of stats and a bunch of numbers, and it was absolutely beautiful. My question is, the only person that I ever hear Lamar Jackson propping up is Mark Andrews. Who the hell else is he propping up on that team? I don't see or hear any other name that Lamar Jackson pops up besides himself. That's it, dude. Am I a blind fan? Do I not watch enough, like, Baltimore Ravens because they're on the East Coast and they're like 3 hours ahead. So I'm not trying to wake up 3 hours earlier, folks, to watch this. You know what I'm saying? Just to be kind of like a little smart aleck, you know? But, like, who is he propping up? That's the one thing. That's the one question I have for you boys. Thank you for letting me have the floor. Thank you.
I don't know about that one, Steven. I mean, you could say he's propping up the whole team. Right. And prior to this season, Lamar had no type of weapons like this.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hear what Steven's saying in the sense of like he's not necessarily elevating his receivers like how we see CJ Stroud is making Tank Dell and Nico Collins into all pro guys. But your point is definitely correct that, I mean, it's also because the offense is structured around Lamar. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't say that this offense is specifically structured around, hey, how do we accentuate all the good things Brock does? It's more just, hey, let's accentuate the things other guys do and Brock give it to those guys. So I would say the difference
completely
for Lamar
different offense
would be, like everything is ran so Lamar can uplift that entire team, to your point, as much as possible.
Right, but that's exactly. That's where I think it gets a little bit nitpicky, where it, when we're just breaking down what Ryan Clark said, because it, I think it's just elevating the team
and I think,
versus specific dudes, right?
And like, I mean, what is elevating, like, I feel like this guy should have these stats, but he, since he was his quarterback, he exceeded those expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, is that what
but
you
that's,
would say?
But that's
is
why
lifting up the offense. Because I would say Brandon Ayuk. Like, Brandon Ayuk hasn't had this kind of season before this year.
But that's what. That's how Ryan Clark didn't make it clear what he was trying to say. Right. Because you can't elevate guys that are already dope, right? Debo is dope. Okay, Kittle, we know,
right,
is
like,
a G.
Would we say Pat? We've seen now for 2 years what Tyreek Hill has done.
He's
with
not in a
Tua.
Position to do so,
did,
right?
I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I don't think anyone's saying Patrick Mahomes isn't elevating people, but like.
Because it's Rashee Rice and it's Kadarius Toney who eats a butter of popcorn right. before every game from the 916. Here's my bottom line
straight
on Purdy.
Oil.
If you redrafted the 2022 draft, he is a top five pick, maybe top three, and that alone is amazing. We'd have to relook. Is he? Because again, if we do that, what team is he going to? Because
we don't live in the Brock Purdy is great without situation being a factor. Like, we are of the minds that, I mean, yeah, Brock Purdy is elevated by his situation. And so you can't
it's
just
both.
Say.
They're helping each other.
Absolutely. They're helping each other is the right way to put it. And so you can't just say, put him on any team. Like, that's not.
It was a
I
pretty
mean,
bad
And that's
draft.
Why we don't
I know
have
we're
Brock
way
Purdy.
Over. I know we're way over. Yeah. But Trayvon Walker went number one.
That's not happening again.
Aiden Hutchinson went number two. Derek Stingley went number three. Mm. Sauce Gardner went number four. Kayvon Thibodeau went number five. Ikem Ekwonu went number six. Evan Neal went seven. Drake London went eight. Charles Cross went nine. Garrett Wilson went 10. Chris Olave went 11. Jameson Williams went 12. You might be onto something, 916.
I don't know.
You don't think so? All right, we got to get to a break. Yeah, when we get back, we make fun of John Fisher. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Simone, how could you come in with Detroit? How could you do that? How could you do that? Everybody
Excuse
from
me.
The 313.
This is Mob, no, but this is Mobb Deep, who's from New York.
Yeah, I know, but it's 8 Mile.
Okay, we're also talking about Shook Ones. We're about to talk about Fisher.
No.
I was
I
about
like
to
it.
Play Return of the Mac, and I was like, he doesn't get that justice, so
I
had to
that.
Change it really
Chris,
quick.
Chris, here you go, because you guys were getting on me for the jingles.
What's happening?
Keep it going, Simone.
Oh, my gosh.
Keep it going, Simone. Keep it going.
I'm turning my mic
Now,
off.
Everybody from the 313, you should be real afraid of Brock Purdy. Yay!
Oh, hey!
Hey, Chris, you like that?
I'm not participating in this as a 49ers fan.
Okay. Come on, that was fuego.
Wasn't bad.
Thank
wasn't
you.
Bad. Wasn't
That's
terrible.
Off the top.
It definitely wasn't terrible.
That's off the top. All right. Let's go to Jimmy here before we tie a bow on Brock Purdy for today. Don't worry, we're not done. We got plenty of time. It's only Wednesday. 916-339-1140. Let's go to Jimmy, who wants to be a part of the conversation. It's not Jimmy G, is it? What's up, Jimmy? What you got for us?
No,
Watkins.
No. How you guys doing? I've been calling in numerous stations just talking about Purdy, and look, he's different, right? Every single one of these quarterbacks that are left inside the playoffs, two of them are kind of similar, and the other two are similar as well. Mm-hmm. So Lamar, he's a running quarterback. He got beat up every year for being a running quarterback until he got a couple of weapons. He got Flowers. He got a good running game. They finally got him some offensive line, right? So now he can do his job. They got him pieces so that he could be successful. Mahomes, extending the plays, right? So every single one of these quarterbacks, Goff, you give him enough time, he can make a throw. Purdy, again, you give this guy enough time, and he's going to make the throws. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's an undersized quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's got a little bit smaller of a hand, so the weather does bother him. But you guys have been talking about these points. Every single one of the receivers has 1,000 yards. Running back has over almost 2,000 scrimmage yards. So what this kid has done coming into the league on his second year, nobody is giving him the credit that is due. You guys said it. He was in the MVP race up until losing it to Lamar. So every single one of these guys has something to bring to the table, and I just was disappointed in the lack of respect that everybody has been giving this kid. And I praise McAfee for finally stepping up and saying everything that needed to be said so that the people could understand what we're all looking at as San Francisco fans. So I appreciate you guys.
No, thanks for the call, Jimmy. Yeah, and the thing about it is, look, obviously Pat McAfee has one of the biggest platforms right now in sports media. Mm-hmm. Honestly, what's funny is I just don't know how much that matters. I don't know when people have an idea about you. I just don't know how willing they are to change it.
Yeah,
it's sure. not. It's not going to change. Maybe he did. Maybe McAfee has a lot of pull these days, so maybe he will change some people's minds. But ultimately, Brock Purdy going out there, showing up and showing out.
Yeah.
And it's the same. I know the line is different because he was Mr. Irrelevant, but if he goes out there, he beats the brakes off the Lions or just wins the game, looks like the Brock that we all know and love, and does the same thing in the Super Bowl and beats a Lamar Jackson and or Patrick Mahomes, then
he's gonna make it hard for
people. It's gonna be really hard to hate on him. But I don't really know if you are a hater. I guess my struggle is if you are a hater, is it undeniable what Brock has done yet from a non-Niner fan perspective? I don't think it's undeniable. Once you win a Super Bowl and you beat a hot Lions team and you beat either the MVP that you lost the MVP to in Lamar Jackson and or Patrick Mahomes, then it's and the operative word here is undeniable.
Sure.
And when you are the last pick in the draft, people want to deny you. That's what it comes down to.
It's just I feel like the goalpost, I mean, and it's nothing new I'm saying here, but it just feels like the goalpost has been moved so drastically, so dramatically in like the last year. I mean, again, when we're talking about Mr. Irrelevant and him playing football games, it's okay, is what we're seeing legit in the sense of, is this guy actually a starting quarterback? And now we're having conversations of, is this guy the MVP, a legit MVP candidate? So I feel like, again, the haters are always until it's undeniable that I guess he's in the MVP conversation and it's not crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know when it's going to stop because, yeah, I mean, at first it was, this guy's not even an NFL quarterback. He's Mr. Irrelevant. There's no way you can believe this. Just this is Jeremy Lin. He's having a good stint and then it's going to be right back to being garbage. Well, I think in terms of undeniable, we can say Brock Purdy's undeniably a top. You said you'd take him top 10. I'll say top 15. He's undeniably that.
No, agreed. And if you have somebody that can get you in the that you drafted somebody in the seventh round that could put you in the mix for a Super Bowl, that is incredible.
That's a win.
That is incredible.
That's a win by itself.
Where things get more.
It shouldn't be more. I mean, more is later in his career. This dude's in year two.
No, I know.
He didn't even have a full offseason to actually work.
But that's what happens with Niner fans and I don't know how big the minority or majority is that on top of that, it's not good enough to say the Niners drafted a guy. It's got to be, they drafted an elite dude. And that's where people say, okay, can we pump the brakes here? And you don't have to, but that's why this, like I said, this is great for program directors across the country. This is great for producers across the country.
We can eat off this.
This is great for hosts across the country. And I saw it in the Sack Chat earlier. Oh, once he went to Super Bowl, that it'll go away. No.
Ask Joe Flacco about that. No, that will not go away. Ask Eli Manning about that.
It's just going to change. It's going to shift in a different way. Okay, it's time to make fun of John Fisher.
Please, real quick.
And Chris and Simone, actually.
Simone found it.
You found this. So John Fisher was at some type of event in Vegas.
Yeah, it was the Las Vegas Journal Review.
Okay, great. And they have him here to do his thing. And this is how it sounded.
Let's give it up one more time for Mary Beth and John Fisher, please. The Las Vegas A's.
Woo!
Anybody?
We like the sound of that, right, Vegas? Yeah? Yes? Are we alive back there, Las Vegas? How we feeling? Okay.
Oof. Why would she say, you got to just eat it.
Yeah, you got to eat it.
unless she's a double agent. Because that's not a good look.
Yeah. She hits that Hulk Hogan like, I can't hear you.
Are we alive back there? Dang, what y'all doing?
It's so quiet in here.
Yeah. You can't. Wow.
Brother. I mean, there you go. That I mean, we already knew it, but like, there's no. Why is this happening?
Make
like, why are y'all trying to make
Las
fetch
Vegas.
Happen?
Yeah, you can't go. Are you alive?
That's crazy.
Are you alive is just outstanding. Unless you're a double agent, because why would you say that?
That's insane.
Let's hear it one more time. Yeah,
please.
So good.
Let's give it up one more time for Mary Beth and John Fisher, please. The Las Vegas A's. We like the sound of that, right, Vegas? Yeah? Yes? Are we alive back there, Las Vegas? How we feeling?
It reminds me of, like, your teacher. Like, when you can't get the classroom's attention. It's
right,
like, are we
right.
alive?
Yeah.
You know, are we here?
Ladies
you
and
guys?
Gentlemen,
come on.
This is when we have to do stuff for the company. And they're like, okay, does anybody want to go first?
Come on.
How you guys feel? The first icebreaker at a company event.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. You guys excited to be here?
Gave me a lot of the, you remember Ja Rule doing the halftime show?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. What up, y'all?
Guess not.
I guess not.
No, honestly, that's how you guys treated me after my freestyle that I will be clipping. That I will be clipping and putting on social media, by the way, because it was fire. I don't care what anybody says, even in the Sack Chat. I see you just hating on me as well. Those were bars, all right? But yeah, John Fisher, there you go. John Fisher, just not a great situation in general. So who knows what will happen, but he's getting roasted today, as you are probably aware. All right, get into a break. When we get back, we discuss kickers and whether they should move on we should move on at some point in years past. We'll be long gone. And also, following up on earlier in the show, De'Aaron Fox speaks with media. Okay, with practice. Is it over? Can we put it to bed? De'Aaron Fox, after practice, speaks with media. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Are we ready? I guess not.
That was a long pause.
That was a really long pause.
Wow, that is Ja Rule,
that's
a.k.a.
so awkward.
John Fisher. Ja Rule trying to get the crowd hyped.
Ja on Fisher.
We need to find out who was the moderator there. Oh, I see.
That did not work. Yeah,
no, it was a great,
no,
it was a great attempt.
No.
We need to find out who that moderator was for the John Fisher situation and find out if she's a double agent. Michael Baldacci on the Sack Chat is saying definitely a double agent because she kind of set him up. Are y'all alive back there?
Hello?
Substitute, big substitute teacher vibes going on. See, this is what's happening. So this is from the 916, and they say Ryan Clark is so bad. So he's saying Brock Purdy hasn't lifted anyone's game. Okay, me and Chris, we're with you.
Yep.
Ayuk was an All-Pro this year. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
we're with you.
Facts,
yeah, we're on
facts.
A.
Yeah, Brock did elevate.
And
him,
what the
sure.
blank has Mahomes done this season?
No.
This man's, you know, had to lift anyone up. Kelsey had his worst season.
He did.
Okay. You lost us now. You were doing so well.
You're doing so well.
You were doing
so well.
You
had us in the first half.
Yeah, they had us in the first half.
Second half.
You were doing so well.
Not great.
And then it just...
Yeah, exactly. Honestly,
I don't know. I mean,
no,
he's only in
literally
his...
stop.
Yeah,
please stop.
Yeah, we're... Yeah. No, you're good there.
You had
it. He's just in his sixth straight AFC championship.
Yeah.
With a bunch of wide receiver twos, threes.
I think two is being
and I think a lot of people Kelsey has had some drops, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's T Swizzle. I don't know. I don't want the Swifties on me. I had E40 fans on me yesterday. I got the Swifties on me today.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Tell
Simone
me when to know.
Yeah, Simone.
It's all good. Yeah. It's all good. But
you good with Unk again or no?
Oh, we're solid. Yeah, okay. We're way too solid. Mm. So yeah, we got some of the sound from De'Aaron Fox at the after practice, right? And we have that ready to go. So let's hear from him. It's nothing I don't believe to write home about, but maybe we can get off this drama train. This
maybe.
Is not House of whatever show Simone watches, the Housewives of Sacramento, and we can just talk basketball. Here's De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron, you've always been really good with us in the media. Was your recent like media silence frustration with the media directly?
No.
No. Was it? And if you don't mind me trying to pinpoint it, was it like
There's
was there
miscommunication?
No. You just don't want to comment at all.
Nah.
Okay.
And then he goes was that at the beginning?
No, that's quite literally the last question.
Okay, that's the last question. Yeah. So he tried to sneak it in.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's the biggest story surrounding the team right now. So
now it's over? Is it over?
Doesn't sound like it. No, I mean, I don't think so.
It's over.
I mean, De'Aaron with smiles, it was a lot better than his pregame
press
the other day. Fresh cut.
Maybe we have the same barber, all three of us.
We definitely might. I think in terms of being asked the question, it's probably over. If I had to guess, with De'Aaron coming out today at practice after doing that pregame, I would also assume that they probably don't want this attention to happen again. And so I would assume that we'll probably be seeing more of De'Aaron Fox.
Do you think, that's what I was going to say. Does he talk, is he the post-game presser next game and just dead it?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Win or lose, just get him out there and just dead it.
Yeah.
This is what it is. Win or lose, you get him out there, you dead it. If you get smacked, you definitely have to send him out.
Definitely have to send him out.
The next time, you dead it for now. The next time they get smacked, you probably have to bring him out there. Yep. And then you're good for the season.
Yeah.
Then we don't talk about this.
No, exactly.
But I think those are the boxes they have to check off.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to come out. And this is not us caring. This is just us. This is us just thinking that this is the way you get it to go away.
Yes, exactly.
And it really helps that it's a 7-game road trip.
It definitely does, because that, I mean, frankly, was a big part of all of this as well. The reason why you heard when we played the Sam Amick sound, David Aldridge was shocked. He was like, when Sam Amick said it's been 16 days, David Aldridge said, what? And a big reason why it got to be 16 days was because they were on the road. And so we just weren't aware that, I mean, we assumed in a pregame or in some postgame that maybe we didn't see because, you know, their local media posted it, not King's local media, obviously. Maybe De'Aaron spoke, but we just didn't know that he didn't speak on the road either. So there's potential. I mean, I'm going to be out there tomorrow. Brendan and Frankie will be out there tomorrow in Golden State. We'll see how it goes. We'll be out there. Yeah.
Big flex.
Alan's keeping it coy right now.
What do you mean?
You're going to be out there. Not out there, but you're going to be places.
It is official.
Come on. It is official.
Look, there's been so much conversation about Brock Purdy. I decided, you know what?
Yeah.
I gotta put my feet on the ground out there.
Right.
And I gotta go to the place that Brock Purdy built. And I will be in Santa Clara this weekend. I just got the confirmation. I will be in Santa Clara. Come holler at your boy and let's celebrate a Niners W.
You just say the place that Brock Purdy built?
That's right. Well, Montana didn't play there.
He didn't. No, that's
the place that Jimmy G built.
Jeff Garcia built that place.
Okay,
no, I don't know. Hey. CJ Bethard. I guess he was probably already. I think he was there after as well.
The place that Sam Darnold could build.
There you go.
They would let him throw the football.
There you go.
According to Dan Orlovsky,
or according to Kyle.
According to Kyle,
if you have Shanahan on the right day, he'll let you know.
There you go. Yeah. All right. We also have this sound. This is just some funny sound. We were earlier on in the week, we were complaining a bit about the kicker situation because it is random
it's
called football, but you don't really only one person touches the ball with your foot. Now I sound like my mom coming from Panama. I don't understand. Why is it called football? They don't kick the ball.
There's no kicking.
The ball. This is Larry David a couple years ago, I think two years ago, on why kickers are dumb.
Number one, I'm losing the goalposts.
Wait, what?
Why are there goalposts?
Okay.
Why are kickers, they don't have football skills. They're not football players.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they kicking a ball through goalposts to decide games? It doesn't make any sense at all. There's no need for goalposts. Why not just have leaping frogs to decide games? See if a frog can leap through a little goalpost that you set up, okay, on the floor. And if the frog can leap through the goalpost, feet are deciding games, and they shouldn't. Why should one player with this skill, like the guy on the Ravens, why should this one player who does nothing but kick a ball be deciding games when you have 52 other players who are actually playing? Maybe.
Yes.
After I got rid of the goalposts, nobody can make an argument for field goals and even extra points. There's no argument for it.
So you're going for it on fourth down every time. That's what it goes every time.
Every time.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're on the other team's 30-yard line,
yes.
You know you've got four downs to get a first down. You're not playing for a field goal. You're playing to score a touchdown. This field goal kicking, I can't stand it.
The ultimate team sport. That is David. Known. That is what football is known as, the ultimate team sport. Would we ever live in a world? I mean, it is kind of crazy. You do all this work,
yeah,
and some dude that I've never... What are your relationships with these kickers? I know everybody's nothing on the team, but, you know, some dude...
They're off to the side kicking during
right,
practice.
Do they even lift with them?
Probably. I would imagine so. Maybe. I guess I really don't know. I would just they'd guess
have
so
to,
because
but they live together with the punters and
right.
The,
oh yeah, definitely.
And those dudes.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, when you think about it, too, there's not really any other sport that does anything. Like, I guess the closest you could maybe consider is like a closer, but at least he's still doing something that other. Like, he is a person is specifically coming in to do something that nothing. It's not asked of anybody else. Yeah, it's not even close.
Specialized role, sure.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
It is really weird, and it is.
I could see a world where maybe they do like maybe in 50 years or something. I mean, the kickoff is all but eliminated, pretty much. I mean, they are enforcing or pushing towards everybody having touchbacks every time anyway. So that's already one step of the kicking game that you're taking out. It's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. It'd be a massive shift, obviously, in just how
we
the
might
game
be
is
long
played,
gone.
But.
And I don't know, is football even going to be around when we're long gone? Who knows? Right. Who knows?
It's going to be like, which one goes first, the penny or the kickers? You guys are really thinking about it.
I mean, it's
probably the kickers, I think. I don't know.
I mean, you know, wasn't Frankie the one who said who carries coins around? Frankie kind of got killed for that.
Uh-oh.
By saying that nobody carries around coins anymore.
Old-time
like,
Frank.
What do I need? I think he even said just cash in general.
That's crazy because Frank, to me, seems like the guy that would give you the difference.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it's 44, 27. Hold on, let me count these coins. I got 73 pennies in here. All right. Real quick, before we get to a break into the crossover.
Yeah, what up?
This is from the 209. Just want to be clear. This is from the 209. Please let us know. I didn't know this was a thing. Is he, talking about De'Aaron Fox, mad at being in Sacramento or just mad at media? Well, technically it's neither. Right. Okay, it's the inner workings, and go check out our 10:30 to 11:30 hour. I believe our guy Joe came in, our social media extraordinaire came in and said that's been clipped. You can check it out, SacktownSports.com, or check it out on YouTube. We have a whole hour where we break that down. But long story short, he is not mad at being in Sacramento, and he is not mad at media. He is mad at
the process
and things that he didn't know were going on, and things were being said about him in terms of when the Kings lost big games and how it came off as a lack of accountability when he didn't speak to the media. So go check that out for anybody who has not been rocking with us all show. If you have been rocking with us all show, thank you very much. So go check that out. It's on YouTube. It's up. It should be up right now or very soon. Got to get to a break. When we get back, crossover with the Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We are back. Couple more minutes with you. Crossover, crosstalk with the Drive Guys.
I'm here.
Hey,
the champ is here.
The champ is here. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. Joining us, guys.
Hey,
guys, hey, this is the first time we've done a fully loaded crosstalk in a while.
I missed it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, what's on your mind? Let's just get right to it.
Just in general.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's on my mind. I heard you guys mention my name today, and I don't know what it was
about.
I was driving in. I heard Whitey would know, and I didn't hear.
So we did a segment. I don't know if you saw the Nets-Knicks game yesterday.
Yeah.
There was the situation where McHale's at the free throw line, and the Barclays Center crowd is booing him, and the next play is like a transition dunk by Julius Randle. And the place erupts. It sounds like the Kevin Herter three of last year.
Right.
Like, it breaks the sound. And I just wondered, and I figured you would have some sort of answer to, no one's given me a good explanation as why, besides it's big market, why, what's the necessity of having two teams in these big major markets? Because it always feels like there's, in every situation, one team that dominates it, whether it's the Lakers, the Yankees,
Cubs.
The Knicks, the Cubs. It's always one team that ends up having a majority of the stake anyway. Is it simply just a cash grab and they feel like if we have two teams in LA will work? It doesn't matter if you know the Clippers have a massive fan base or not. It's going to be a functional NBA franchise. Just what is the logic, the reasoning? Do you know the first time it happened? Like, why are there teams, two teams in a market when you have Nashville, Seattle, markets that are big enough to sustain major league franchises but don't have any?
I think it started when, like, the, you know, baseball in the early parts of the 1900s when there weren't that many cities that could support a team. So, like, you had the National League, then the American League comes along. We're going to have teams too, but they had to put them in the same cities. Like, Philadelphia used to have two teams. Mm-hmm. St. Louis used to have two.
Right.
Then you have the, you know, there's more and more cities and the population grows and grows and they spread out. But I think the answer is, let's say the NFL came to you as they may and said, Chris, we love you. We need you as an owner. All we ask is that we have these two franchises. We want you to take one. You can take Portland or a new Chicago team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Portland's like, oh, there's sure. no competition. But Chicago, right. your franchise value being in Chicago, even if the Bears dominate you
right.
forever, it's like you still own a team in freaking Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? So
okay.
it's the
yeah.
value of the franchise.
No, totally. I mean, it just,
I think.
From a league perspective, it just feels like, I mean, I don't know how good of a look it is to have a situation like you just had in the Barclays where,
yeah.
why? I mean, Sacramento gets tons of praise, rightfully so, for being an incredibly passionate fan base, win or loss. Well, wouldn't you want to have as many of those franchises? I mean, of course you need big markets. But
here's the thing, too, with that, Chris. When you look at the NBA, would you rather have a second Los Angeles team or a Pelicans franchise, New Orleans?
Sure.
Yeah, that second you. Los yeah. Angeles team still right. draws better yeah, yeah. than true. A yeah. Milwaukee
or club, even San you know, Diego, or somebody, or San Diego. Houston, they move to Los
they move,
Angeles.
Sure. Right, right. Yeah. They still draw yeah. financially. It's still better for the yeah. league to be in those major cities, yeah.
I'm
checking. I know. You're sticking up for the little guy.
It's the right answer. It's just, it's not. It's
right.
Not for the love of the game. That's what I want it to be.
I even thought I heard a little of that last night watching the Clippers and the Lakers. Not to that extent that, you know, you guys play.
But I mean, look at the lengths that Steve Ballmer's going to try and carve his own, like, section of LA fans. He's building this state-of-the-art arena. He's building this wall. He's got all these stars. And even then, it's like, I mean, it's a 500 Lakers team is still probably the talk of the town. If you turn on LA radio, I don't think many people are talking about the Clippers. I'm sure they're talking about who the Lakers should go and get in the market. So I just, it's the, yes, I understand the financial element of it, but it feels like from the just pure sporting element of it, it just doesn't seem to make sense any of the situations.
You're taking the Portland NFL franchise. You don't want the Chicago team?
I mean, if I could guarantee some sort of financial gain in Portland, then I'll take the Portland, because again, I just think that
I got you.
I would rather have a fan base that at least no cares than constantly trying to fight being the second fiddle in the market.
Does Allen have a job when you own the team? Is Allen getting a job?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, so he's getting an advisor role of some sort.
Thank you, Yeah. So I'm pulling
the Doc Rivers role.
I'm pulling some numbers here, and this is between NFL and NBA, and just. There's the little brother thing, and then there's obviously the money, right? So this is as of August 2023, just the
franchise valuations.
Franchise evaluations for the NFL. You have the New York Giants at 4, right? But then you have the New York Jets at 7. That's still both in the top 10. You know what I mean? So there you go. And then you also have, now where it gets interesting to me is that the Chargers are at 25. That's pretty bad.
Right.
They're just hoping that at some point it grows. You got your quarterback, you get Harbaugh, and eventually it grows. But that is the outlier to where I don't – they're assuming – they just think that these are all sleeping giants that eventually you can figure out. But the Chargers, they're 25. So that just the smaller markets, right? Tennessee Titans are ahead of them. The Colts are ahead of them. And I think it's different for football a little bit. But yeah, it might not, it doesn't look great for some of these situations. Chargers are really the only one that I'm seeing where it's actually bad.
Well, how about like the White Sox?
So I just did NFL and NBA. I'm looking here for NBA. Knicks are, you have Golden State Warriors, National Basketball Association franchise value by team in 2023. Golden State Warriors 1, New York Knicks 2, Brooklyn Nets 13. And it sounds like it, but top 15, top half, you know, I don't know.
I guess. I don't love any of these answers. I'd much rather just have it. I just need passionate fan base.
What, you want a franchise in St. Louis? The Louisville?
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets.
I understand this. There's a line 20, for yeah. sure.
2023, and you could argue, and based on what time this was done, the Brooklyn Nets are 13, 14, 15, 16. Sacramento Kings, just like their defensive rating, 17.
Are they up to 17 now?
Well, they were. I don't know if they still are. So there you go. I hear you, Chris. I hear you, but...
I mean, I understand it's a business, and it definitely makes a lot of sense financially, but it's just, I don't know.
It was a bad look.
It just
last
doesn't
night.
Seem... Like, I just don't know if it's a good look to have your franchise... Because it's going to devalue the franchise to have them be viewed as the lower... as the
No, but I don't think it is,
the guy
though.
That owned the net, Prokhorov, right?
Yes,
he built the arena and everything, and then he sold it.
Yeah.
For a lot more money than he would have if he'd have moved
and
them.
But how much it's of not that like is just they play the Knicks every game.
No, for
you
sure.
You know, yeah. What you talking, four times a year, yeah. You know? I mean, you could look at Sacramento. Lakers fans take over. Oh, Golden yeah, State. Sure. I mean, it happens. When you have these legacy franchises, like, but when they play the Orlando Magic, it's not like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I
sure.
think it just, Knicks fans, they travel, you know? They're going to be out there.
Yeah.
Lakers, Warriors,
I mean, yeah, we
Celtics.
Experienced the Warriors aren't right. even it, as close as
right,
these guys.
Right. So, I just think it's just because of that matchup. That's why you see that.
Yeah. It's tough.
Chris I just is like, don't like God, it, man. God. I know. No, you guys are right. You guys are definitely right. I just don't
yeah,
like
yeah. I get it. I don't yeah. like it.
Before we get on out of here and let you guys do your thing, did you see John Fisher get booed? Or not booed, but did not get cheered in Vegas?
What did he get?
Well, basically.
A whole lot of nothing.
Sounding silence.
Yeah, he got introduced and said Las Vegas A's. And the moderator says, you guys like the sound of that? And there was silence. And then she says, you guys alive back there? And it was bad.
Really, really bad.
It was bad. All right, we got to get out of here. Outstanding show. Thank you to Brendan Nunes. And like I said, if you missed our Kings Roundtable, where we break down everything with De'Aaron Fox and the media conundrum, which we think is maybe being put to bed. De'Aaron spoke with the media after practice today. Check it out. It's up on YouTube right now. Thank you to Simone, Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles. We will talk to you tomorrow. Drive Guys got you up next. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.